rights organization designed to bring glory and honor to God and to bring to light in many places the fact that people need rights and need to be recognized. And he is doing it through the understanding that we have as believers how God views mankind. And so we are very glad to have him here this morning. Please welcome with me Majid El Shafi.
How are you this morning? Come on, you can do better. How are you this morning? Thank you for coming this morning, and thank you for having me. It's my first visit to Vancouver, and it's not the last. It's a beautiful city. I came from Toronto, so you can imagine what I'm talking about. We have snow. We have a lot of snow. We have a lot of rain. So thank you very much indeed for your coming. If you look to the magazine, the Mishifaz magazine, you found that the title was for this morning was The Difference Between Islam and Christianity. Sorry, there was a small little confusing about that. Today is, this morning, it will be guilty as charged, is the testimony. But this evening, at 3 o'clock, we have forgiveness and victory, the key to unlock the gates of persecution. And at 7, Club 67, I will be speaking about the difference between Islam and Christianity. So if you came here today to hear about the difference between Islam and Christianity, this will be on this evening. Anyway, the story that you will hear this morning, a real story from the stories of life, happened and is still happening until now in country of the Middle East, in Egypt, Cairo. Love, justice, and freedom. These three words dream of every human being alive. And these three words was and still and will be always my dream as well. My name is Majid El Shafi. I born in Cairo, Egypt in February 17, 1977. As David said, next month I will be 29. Still young and handsome. Thank you very much. I born from wonderful Muslim legal family. Legal families mean that all of them worked in the legal career. My uncle was a judge in the Egyptian Supreme Court. My father was a lawyer working with the Egyptian government. And my brother even was a private lawyer. When you're born from a family like this, you found big, huge library in your bedroom full of books about law and justice and freedom. I read every and each book of this library. I believed in the human right and in the freedom. After I finished my high school, I went to the law school to continue my family career. I went to the law school in Alexandria to become a lawyer. In the first year in the law school in Alexandria, I discovered a very disturbing fact. I discovered that in a country like Egypt, which I considered one time in a period of my life that it was free country, this was my home. But in this country, in Egypt, you cannot build churches. I discovered that you cannot build churches. There is something in the Egyptian law, it's called Al-Khatt Al-Hamayuni law. This law that you cannot build churches. You cannot even rebuild the old churches or prepare the old churches. You can build bar, discotheque, but not churches. Egypt originally, I discovered in the first year in the law school that Egypt originally was a Christian country, was a Coptic country. Until the 7th century, a man, his name Omar ibn al-As, he entered Egypt, he's a Muslim leader, he entered Egypt by force and killed most of the Christians, and he converted the religion of Egypt from Christianity to Islam by force. While we're talking now in this beautiful, nice place, there is at least between 6,000 to 7,000 Christians, Egyptians, they are in jail just because they are Christians, not because of any other reason. This is a fact. All of these facts make me wonder why. Why there is persecution happening to the Christians? You see, you need to understand that the persecution, they don't want to persecute us, they want to persecute Jesus in us. You see, when you start to persecute somebody, that's meaning that you are afraid from the truth that they carry. If you know that you carry the truth in you, why are you afraid? You know, sometime when Jehovah's Witness come in Toronto and knock on my door, I let them come and sit down. I don't close the door in their face. Come, tell me. I know where I am standing. I know that I have the truth. So when you start to persecute somebody, that means that you are scared from the truth that they carry. I went to my best friend, his name Tamer. Tamer was a Christian, I was Muslim. Me and Tamer, we born in the same city, we in the same place, in the same day. We went to the same school, we went to the same college. He was my best friend. He was a Christian, I was a Muslim. We never spoke religion before. And one day I went to Tamer, my friend, I told him, Tamer, tell me why there is persecution happening to the Christians in Egypt. And Tamer, he told me, listen, I cannot give you an answer because I'm afraid that my answer can affect our friendship together. He told me, but I will give you a book. In this book, you will find answer for every question that you have. This book wasn't only about law and justice and rules. It's also about love and forgiveness and sacrifice. We call it the Holy Bible. First time I opened the Holy Bible, I didn't know anything about the Holy Bible. I didn't know the difference between Old and New Testament. First time I opened the Holy Bible was John 8. When I opened the Bible like this, it was John 8. In John 8, they bring a lady, she commit adultery. They throw her in front of the Lord and told him, judge her according to the law of Moses. She deserved to be stoned. The Lord started to write down on the sand by his finger. They repeated the question again. The Lord looked at all of them and he told them, who without sin cast her the first stone? If you think about it for a minute, the only one who can cast her the first stone was Jesus Christ, because he was the only one have no sin. But he did not. All of them, they know that they are sinners. They left. The Lord looked back to this lady, to this sinner lady, and told her, go, sin no more. I forgive you. What a love. What a love. This was my first time I met the Lord. I start to read the complete Holy Bible. I start to compare between the Quran, which is the book of the Muslims, and the Holy Bible. I start to compare between them. I start to read between them. And I went to my friend Tamer. I told him, Tamer, now I know the real definition of Christianity. Now I know what's the real Christianity. Christianity is not that you go to the church every Sunday, hallelujah, bless the Lord, and see you Lord next Sunday. This is not Christianity. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with God. That's the true Christianity. And Jesus Christ is not just the Lord in our life. He's flower in the middle of the desert. Almighty light in the middle of the darkness. Warm hug in the middle of cold night. And that's who Jesus is. I went to my friend Tamer, I told him, Tamer, I want to be a Christian. I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Tamer, he jumped from his chair and he said, hallelujah, bless the Lord. I told him, Tamer, sit down, don't hallelujah me, I have no time. Sometimes the people jump in the middle of a thing, I'm doing something now. So, he told me, what are you thinking? I told him, as I was a Muslim man, and I have complete all my rights, I want to be a Christian, and I have complete all my rights as well. He told me, what you want to do? I told him, we need to build ministry underground organization. Underground organization to ask from the Egyptian government to give us our rights. When you know the truth, you have two options in your life. Or to become part of the problem, or the heart of the solution. This is the two options that you have in your life. Part of the problem or the heart of solution. Me and Tamer, we start to build organization underground. We start by 7 members. In 2 years' time, we become 24,000 in one organization. Basically, 40% of us was Muslim convert, glory to God. We built 2 churches inside caves because, as I said, we cannot build churches outside. We built one medical clinic, one Bible school, and we start to establish a newsletter to give it to the people, basically, just to ask from the Egyptian government to give us our rights. Let me tell you an example, just a small little operation that we did back home, just to give you an example, because a lot of people, they don't understand that back home, sometime, you leave your home in the morning, you kiss your family goodbye, because sometimes you are not sure that you will see them again in the evening. Is that true? I will tell you one small little operation that we operate when we was back home. Tamer, one day he came to my office, he was crying. And Tamer, my best friend, he usually, a soft young man, you know, he is easy to cry. And back home, if you are a man and you are easy to cry, the people start to tease you, you know. Oh, men don't cry. Silly stuff. Crying is healing sometimes. But I used to tease him every time he cried. He's my friend, I must tease him, you know. What is friends for, you know? So Tamir, he came, he was crying. I start to tease him as usual. I told him, honey, sweetheart, what's wrong? And usually when I tease him, he smile and he laugh. But this time he did not. I told him, what's wrong? There is something serious. He told me there is a mosque in upper of Egypt in an area is called Elmenia city. There is a mosque. You know what's meaning of mosque? The Muslim temple, basically. There is a mosque, it's called Masjid Al-Fuli. This is the name of the mosque, Al-Fuli Masjid. The imam, which is the Muslim preacher, every Friday, which is the day of the prayer, the holy prayer of the Muslims, every Friday he stand up, he preach against Christians, he preach against the Bible. He was quite aggressive preacher, Muslim preacher. I told him, Tamir, nobody insult my Lord. 2 weeks from now, send 25 from our friends to sit inside the mosque and to pray as a Muslims. Nobody knows that they are Christians. But me and you, we will enter the mosque later on after they are sit down in different position. 2 weeks later, I enter. We send the 25 from our friend. They sit in different position. Me and my friend Tamir, we went inside the mosque. I hold the mic from the imam hand. And I told him, listen, I am not here to make any trouble with anybody. God is my witness. I came in peace and I'm living in peace. I don't want anything from you. I am here just to ask you one single question and I'm leaving. One single question. I told him, you are insulting my Lord. I'm here to ask you one single question. If you are walking in a road like any road, a street like any street, and this road divides to two roads, divide to two streets, and you want to ask somebody for the right way. Do I take the right road or the left road? You want to ask somebody for the way. And you have two men in front of you. One is alive and one is dead. Which one you will ask him for the right direction? The life or the dead? They said, all of them, they said, we will ask the life one. I told them exactly, Jesus is alive, but Muhammad is dead and he will not rise again. I told them every false prophet, his bone is still in the grave. But our Lord Jesus Christ, his tomb is empty. Glory to God. People of God, after I said that, they start to run after me, which was a very exciting experience. I run after them. It was okay, but I didn't. That's why we had the 25 from our friends. They came, they surround us, and we succeed to escape outside the mosque. I'm just saying the story quickly because we don't have time, so I'm just taking a few details here and there. Sorry for that. I start to write a book between the difference between Islam and Christianity. I start to publish this book back home in Egypt. In August 15, 1998, I was in my office in Al Haram Street in Cairo. 1:30 in the morning, I heard knocking on my door. 1:30 in the morning is a very strange time. I went to open the door. Somebody asked for a name. I told them, nobody here by this name. 3 minutes later, five soldiers, two officers, they came, they broke the door. They took me from inside. They took me to police station. It's called Lazugli police station. It's behind the Egyptian parliament in downtown Cairo. And they told me, listen, we know everything about you. We know about your organization. We know about your people. One thing we don't know about you is the rest of the names of your group. Who is working with you? Who's your friends? I told them, I don't know which group and which organization. And if you know everything about me, why are you asking me? They told me, you want to play tough? We can play tough together. I told them, baby, tough is my middle name. You have no idea. Seriously. My name is Majid Tough al-Shafai. That's it then. They took me next day to Abu Zahab al-Jal. And here we will speak about the part that I don't like to speak about. If you ask somebody coming from the Middle East, especially Egypt, about Abu Zahab al-Jal, he will have one comment. Abu Zahab al-Jal is hell on earth. Let me tell you a few information about the jail back home. 25% of the area of Abu Zahab al-Jal, 25% of the area of Abu Zahab al-Jal is underground. It's like basements. It's like graves or basements. They call it the torture section. When they get you inside this section, they change your name in the official paper. So if your family or any human rights organization ask about you, you are not exist in the files. The officers that they are torturing you, they're always wearing masks. You cannot see their faces. And they always call each other by numbers, not by names. So for example, officer number 6 come and speak with officer number 10. They don't call each other by names, by numbers. Every day, by different level of torture, if you didn't speak in day number 1, they take you to higher level next day. They torture you basically the whole day. They give you 15-minute rest between. There is always a military officer standing behind you. This military officer, his job, not to stop the pain. His job to be sure that you are conscious to the pain. If you lost your conscience, he wake you up. This is his job. I spent in this section 7 days. 7 days. For me, it was like 700 years. But I survived. Glory to God. Day number 1, they shaved the hair of my head. And they put my head in cold and hot water. When I say cold, it's very cold water. When I say hot, it's very hot water. They put your head in cold water for around 1 minute, and after that, they put it in a hot one. It's really quite painful. In the end of the day, they put me back on my cell. They told me, you tell us the name of your friends. I told them, to be honest with you, I didn't take a shower for a long time, and I enjoyed the cold and hot water. And to be honest with you, I'm very handsome without hair. And I was, really. I don't know what you're laughing at, but... as you see, can see, I kept the style a little bit. What's wrong with you? Day number 2, they hang me upside down. Half of my body was on the ground, the another half was hanging. From my feet to the hip is hanging, and from the waist to the head is on the ground. They beat me by everything in their hand. They burned me by 3 cigarettes. They took the nail of my toe, of my right toe. They grabbed it. The only thing that I can remember in the day number 2 was the smell and the taste of my blood. They took me back to my room. They told me, you tell us the name of your friends. I told them, no. They told me, do you know what will be your punishment if you didn't speak tomorrow? What will be your torture? We will release 3 dogs to attack you. And they left. And they tell you in the night what you will face tomorrow, so all night long your mind is thinking about it. And they left. Tell me, if you are in my place, what do you do? You're underground, bleeding, lonely. I start to pray. That's what you start to do. I start to pray. And this was my prayer to the Lord. I told him, Lord, thank you for your love. And thank you for your gift on the cross, Almighty God. Now I know the price that you paid. And I cannot pay it. None of you can pay it. Only him can pay it. I just taste a little bit of it. But he's the only one who can drink the whole cup. I told him, Lord, now I know. Thank you. I told him, but Lord, do for me a favor. Kill me before tomorrow morning. Kill me before tomorrow morning. I told him, Lord, from ash to ash, from dust to dust. I told him, Lord, I'm just in pain. And I'm flesh and blood. I'm afraid that under heavy torture, I can say the name, I can mention the name of my friends. So take me home. Just take me home. I prayed. I closed my prayer. Next morning, I wake up. Did you ever wake up in the morning? You didn't know if this is a good news or a bad news. I wake up. My room, the cell where I was, is a dark. When they open the corridor, there is a red light. And I can see the shadow of the 3 dogs getting closer and closer to my room. And you know, when you have 3 big dogs, the chain, there is a chain around their neck, make noise, and how they breathe. So I can hear their noise coming closer and closer to my room. And I went and I sit down in the corner and I put my feet and my hand together and I cover my face by my own hand, hoping that this will make less damage in the flesh. And I close I put my hand on my face. And I waited for the dogs to come, and I can hear the noise getting closer and closer and closer. And I prepared myself for pain and agony. And suddenly I couldn't hear the noise of the dog anymore. I took my hand away from my face, and that's what I saw. The 3 dogs sitting around me, none of them moved. Officers, soldiers, they start to kick the dogs to attack. They didn't move. You see, dogs been trained to listen to their master, but there is no higher master than Jesus Christ. The officer, the soldier, they took the 3 dogs. They said, maybe there is something wrong with the 3 dogs. They took the 3 dogs. They bring another set of 3 dogs. The another set of 3 dogs sit in the same position. With one little difference, the middle one took a step further and he licked my face. And this was Jesus Christ. The officers and me, we get the same message that maybe I'm alone, but I'm not lonely. Day number 4, officer number 27. I will start to run a little bit in the story, so forgive me for that. Day number 4, officer number 27. Very big, strong man. You know this guy, the governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger or something, I don't know. I don't know what they are eating. I have no idea. He was a big man like this. You know, he always say, I will be back, I will be back. I don't know where does he be back. Who cares? Who asked him if he will be back or not? Anyway. Officer number 27 was a big, strong man like this. He came, he opened the door, very angry, very upset. He told me, listen, I'm not afraid from you. I told him, of course you're not afraid from me. You're the one who's torturing me. I'm the one who's supposed to be afraid from you. He told me, I'm here to make with you a deal. I told him, I'm listening. He told me, you give me the name of your friends. I will let you go. I will send you free. You want money, I give you money. You want a brand new car, I give you a brand new car. You want house, I give you house. You want beautiful ladies, I give you beautiful ladies. Whatever you want, I give you. I told him, really, I like the deal. I will take it. I told him, but first, I didn't eat for 3 days. Go bring me food, and after that, I will sit down and I will eat it. He told me, anything you like to eat, I will bring it to you. I told him, I want shish kebab. Did you ever try the Egyptian shish kebab? It's better than McDonald's. Don't eat McDonald's, man. It's very bad for you, seriously. There is nothing better than Kentucky Fried Chicken. No, I'm joking. I sat down, I ate my shish kebab. He told me, now he tell me the name of your friends. I told him, cup of tea first. He went, he bring the best cup of tea. I sat down, I drink it. He told me, now he give me the name of your friends. I told him, listen, we have a big group. I cannot remember all of their names. But I can give you the name of our leader. You can catch him, and he can give you all their names. He told me, your leader? I thought that you are the leader. I told him, no, I'm just a servant. And I cannot remember all the name, but he can. He told me, okay, give me the name of your leader. I told him, the name of our leader, Jesus Christ. If you can catch him, catch him. He wasn't really very happy like you, let me put it by this way. Officer number 27, he punished me two punishments. The first punishment that he slammed my face. And he was a strong man. And I hit the wall. I always make joke about it. I always say, this was my first time I fly without aeroplane. It's brand new meaning for free air miles. You see, officer number 27, he didn't know that today I would be standing making joke out of it. Because if I sit down and I cried, and if I was broken, he won and I lost. But as long as I'm standing up here, and as long as I'm serving the Lord Almighty, he lost. And Jesus in me won. The second punishment is the reason that I don't sleep in the night, even now. I have nightmares in the night, so I prefer sleeping in the morning. The Lord will heal me from that very soon. And the second punishment is the reason that I cannot smell or drink lemon. Officer number 27, he took me to another dark room, and this dark room was a piece of wood in cross shape. And they crucified me for 2 days and a half. When I say crucified me, they didn't nail me to cross. They tied your hand, your neck, your waist, your arms, and your feet and your legs. In the end of the 2 days and a half, he bring an Egyptian knife, it's called mangal, and he make cut in my left shoulder to the bone, in the back of my left shoulder to the bone, and he put salt and lemon in the open wound. When you are under heavy torture, you collapse, your nerve system collapse. And I will need to take the story a little bit around because I need to give you a few important points before I let you go. I wake up, I found myself in a hospital. I was in a hospital for 3 months. I couldn't move, and after that, I ended in house arrest. The death penalty, I escaped from my house arrest to Israel, and from Israel, United Nations and Amnesty International, they took me in, and now I'm here in Canada. I've been here in Canada for 4 years. And I'm the head and the founder of One Free World International. It's a human rights organization. And we have two radio programs to the Middle East. One is called River of Love to the Middle East, and one is called Encourage Iraq. And just in the last few months, we have 743 Muslims came to the Lord. Glory to God. One Free World International is basically to defend the persecuted Christians, and we make conferences, we connect with MPs, we connect with a member in the Canadian Parliament or the American Congress. And just the last case that we was involved in is a guy in Saudi Arabia that he was preaching the gospel, and they was wanting to put him in jail, and they give him 750 lashes. And because our members, when you get out, you will find the information desk, you found all our brochures and the membership. If you sign, we will direct you, we'll tell you how to send the emails and all of that. This guy be released from the Saudi Arabian jail because our members contact the Saudi Arabian embassy and they made a difference. We succeed, glory to God. There is no one case we took in and we lost, glory to God. One, not even one, glory to God. I came to, this is the end of testimony, and I'm sorry if I cut many details, but we need to carry on. There are three more points, and I will let you go in peace. First point is, I'm not here to insult my country. Never think that I'm here because I hate Egypt. Egypt is in my blood. I love my country exactly the same like you love your own. This is my home. I have a friend of mine, he told me, how come you love a country 30% or 40% out of it as a desert? I told him, well, it's my desert. I'm here because I love Egypt. And when you love somebody, you try to correct and you try to fix. And trust me when I tell you, they can kick me out of my land, but they cannot kick my land out of me. This is number one. Number two, I'm not here because I hate Muslims. No. We don't fight hate by hate, or revenge by revenge, or evil by evil. We fight hate by love, revenge by forgiveness, and evil by the power of the living Lord. Don't forget that the Lord said, love your enemy, bless who will curse you. He didn't only say it, he didn't only preach it, he proved it on the cross when he said, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they are doing. Remember that there is no society can survive an eye by an eye or tooth by a tooth, or the whole society will end blind and toothless. True. Point number three, and I will let you go, I promise. I'm here to tell you what to do, how we can help. How we can help the persecuted Christians. We have one persecuted Christian every 3 minutes worldwide. And it's not only in Egypt. It's not about only Egypt. We have one persecuted Christian every 3 minutes worldwide. Just last year, we have over 165,000 Christians being killed for their faith. Is that true? We have over 200 million persecuted Christians. And what the church is here doing in the West, zero. It's true, it's fact. And it's about time that we stand beside our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. I don't know what we're waiting for. What we can do to help the persecuted Christians. Number one, pray. How many of you pray for the persecuted church every day? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe 5, say, let's say 10. I know why you don't pray for the persecuted Christian every day. Because you are busy. Yes. You have maybe 2 jobs, 100 kids. Your back is hurting you. How many of you drink a cup of coffee every day? Raise your hand up if you drink a cup of coffee or tea. Coffee or tea. Or Coke. Or Tutti Frutti. How long take from you to drink your cup of tea? How long take from you to drink a cup of tea? Put time on it. Huh? 3 minutes? You will 5 minutes? Let's say 5 minutes. 3 minutes will burn your tongue. 3 minutes. I will ask from you to pray for the persecuted Christian 1 minute per day. 1 minute. Every time you drink your cup of coffee or your cup of tea, remember, oh, I waste 3 minutes from my precious time on this cup of coffee. I can waste 1 minute for my brother and my sister in the Lord. That's all. Agree? What else we can do? We can take an action. The Bible said, faith without action is a dead faith. How we can take an action? We can contact our MP. We can contact our media. We can contact our prime minister. We can contact the embassy of Egypt, the embassy of Saudi Arabia. If you sign your name on the list, we will direct you. Every case, we send you the email of the ambassador, whatever have the problem, the name of the email of the prime minister. We will help you to take an action. Now, before I let you go, I want from you to see these people. Who are helping these people? These people, like Adel Fahmy. Adel Fahmy, 21 years old. The Muslims, they took him and they put him on the floor and they told him, you believe in Islam, you convert to Muslim or we shoot you. Other family said, no, I'm Christian. I will live and I will die Christian. They shot him in the head. He died immediately. Or his sister, Maysoon Fahmy, 11 years old, they let her lie down and they shot her in the head. Or Ehab Shimon, 6 years old, he's holding the bullet who killed his father in front of his eye. And as I said, over 200 million persecuted Christians worldwide. Before I give you my final word, I want to thank the people in Mission Fast for this opportunity. I want to thank Richard and David. And I want to thank Wiz Mac, who started really all of that. I don't know if he's here or not. But the leadership of the Mission Fast, they care about the persecuted Christians enough that they invite us. And I really want to thank all of them. And please support them. Because they went where nobody else went. You know, it's a heavy subject, and nobody wants to touch it. But they did. They get out of the box. So we are very thankful to the Mission Fast, to Richard and David. Really, thank you very much. Before I let you go, people of God, I want to tell you something very important. Remember that to the rest of your life. The persecuted Christians is dying, but they're still smiling. They are in very deep, dark night, but they still have the candles of the living Lord. Tomorrow's new day, we will not give up. Our enemy have very strong army. Our enemy have very strong weapon. But we have the Lord Almighty. Believe me when I tell you. Believe me when I tell you. They can kill the dreamer, but no one can kill the dream. Thank you and God bless you. Let's close this morning by a prayer. Please come down and let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks and we bless your holy name, Almighty God. We thank you, dear Lord, for your gift on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you died for our pain and our sin and our disease. And we thank you, Lord, that you rose again to give us the way and the truth and the life. We thank you, dear Lord, and we bless your holy name. We thank you for yesterday, and we thank you for today, and we will always thank you, Lord, for tomorrow. Almighty God, we pray today for Mission Fast. We pray for the people that they attend, for the people who prepare. Bless all of them, Almighty God. From the leadership to the end of it, all of them, Almighty God. From the head to the guy who cleaned the floor, bless all of them, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for today. Almighty God, I pray for the persecuted Christians right now, Almighty God, worldwide. We pray, dear Lord, that you will take them from the shadow of death to the shadow of life in Jesus' name. We pray, Almighty God, the more they persecute us, the more that will grow in you in Jesus' name. We pray also, Almighty God, for our persecutor. We pray, Almighty God, that we will forgive our enemy. We pray, Almighty God, that the Muslims or any non-believers, Almighty God, they will come to you, that you will open their eyes and their heart for the truth. Almighty God, you said in your holy book, if you believe in me, in the size of mustard seed, you can remove mountains. So, Almighty God, we remove the mountain of pain in Jesus' name. We remove the mountain of persecution in Jesus' name. We remove the mountain of the disease in Jesus' name. We remove the mountain of the enemy from our lives in Jesus' name. And we are calling for the mountain of prosperity. We are calling for the mountain of victory. We are calling for the mountain of healing. We are calling for the mountain of Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear Lord. And we bless your holy name. We declare your victory, Almighty God, in our lives, in Jesus' name. And the end of my prayer, I will ask from you to baptize us in your love and in your mercy. In his almighty lovely name we pray, and in Jesus we will trust. Amen.
That was a wonderful and challenging message. If you wish to purchase that, you may place your order at the table over here for a video and then pick it up later on in Hall B. Please visit our exhibits, including One Free World International, among many other people that are doing great work for our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you, and may you pray for the persecuted church, persecuted believers. Keep them in forefront in your mind. Please come back for our plenary session this afternoon at 2:00. Enjoy the